Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
You're listening to the Shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live right now on morelikeradio.com. I say, if you're listening on the download, shame on you. Get yourself in the chat. I do go live at 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern, every Tuesday. Bunch of stuff I've been playing this week, but I'll give the usual frivolities. If you are downloading, you want to get in the chat, say morelikeradio.com/live. If you want to get in touch with me, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, I have a topic for next week. I've thought about this week, which I'll talk about later. But yeah, get in the old group. It's facebook.com/group/MLR Gamer Lobby. And also join the Facebook, like us on Facebook. Jeez, I'm having trouble talking tonight. And I'm not even drinking. I should get myself a fucking beer. But yeah, so because no alcohol by volume tonight, so got to do drinking for somebody. Facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio is the Facebook page for the show. And also you can follow the show on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. But as usual, go to morelikeradio.com. We're all up there. Usual bullshit, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I have actually been playing some stuff other than Destiny, which is great and nice and fun and goody stuff. But yeah, I say I got into Destiny because I've barely touched it. I log in once a day to do the what the hell is it called? The the public event thing. I do that once a day so that I get a gold rating and I get whatever item I go back when I go to the post office at the just kick over the mic. When I go to the I was going to say Crucible, but it's not. It's the tower. There we go. How long have I been playing this game? Yeah, I go to the tower, get me daily item or whatever. I mean, I fully upgraded my armor, which is something, I guess. Literally, I'm at 29 1/4. If I want to get higher, I need, I don't know, to do the raid stuff. But there's still no fucking matchmaking. I do have a bunch of Destiny talk, which I'll get into after this lot, and some topics and bullshit, blah, 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 which can wait. But yeah, I've upgraded my armor, it's fully complete, you know, whatever. I think I'm about 3 Ascendant or 2 Ascendant energy away from fully upgrading my that exotic super heavy machine gun thing that I've got. I've barely touched Destiny. I mean, I still like it. I've been doing the other stuff, which I'll go into a sec. But yeah, Destiny's getting boring, and yeah, we need some DLC. But I want to do the raid stuff. But as everyone else on my friends list is playing Call of Duty, I mean, I know me and Sean from in Boston, we need to do the daily the weekly challenge stuff. The heroic, not heroic ones, the ones that give you the strange coins, because you know we need strange coins to buy some good gear. But yeah, I say. Yeah, just nothing much. I had enough motor light this past weekend to get myself another piece of exotic armor, which I couldn't use because it was for a hunter. And I'm like, yeah, well, this ain't fucking good to me anyway. So I sort of dismantled it, got myself some shards. You know, just doing that. I mean, I'm overdosing on bloody shards at the moment because I've got enough of them. All I want is ascendant energy so I can fully upgrade my weapon. And interesting, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because I don't play Destiny as much as I did 2-3 weeks ago. Even though some stuff that I am playing has sort of finished, which I'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, Destiny, still good, a bit bored. But I mean, Assassin's Creed's out in the States, I think, today, which will be yesterday if you're listening to the download. And we get it Friday, which is a bastard because now I'm off work for 2 days now. And we don't get it till Friday, which is when I'm back to work. So I'm going to have to wait till, you know, till I get home and play it. But, you know, I've got Assassin's Creed this week, I've got Far Cry 4 next week, and I've got Pokemon the week after that. And the week after that, I'm on holiday, so I'll have one whole week to sort of blitz myself silly on all those three games. But yeah, I say there's some stuff coming out now, which makes me happy, because I'm not exactly bored of what I've got. I just want something new to play, something more enjoyable, something that's different, really. And I'm looking forward to, you know, wristblading some French arseholes, and then going to the Himalayan mountains and shooting the shit out of people while riding an elephant. And then going to the Hoenn region to do the same shit I've been doing for a while. This is a bit weird now because I feel like I need to sneeze. I'm trying to hold it back as much as I can. But no, other stuff I have been playing. I had to say Pokemon. I finally got that missing Pokemon that I needed. And I have officially, I'm missing two. I've got two Pokemon that are at 4 IVs, but every other Pokemon that is capable of being bred, I have up to 5 IVs, which, yay, people give a shit. But no, literally, I'm quite happy. It's finally, after a year of playing X and Y, I now have literally every Pokemon that can be fully evolved and what have you, up to 5 IVs, apart from 2, which is a pain in the ass anyway. Yeah, I'm glad. It's nice to have this sort of accomplishment, and I don't know if that make me a Pokemon master now. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of legendaries that I do want to get that need to have the right right nature, and they've got to EV train them, which I've been doing today. I'm just missing like one Pokemon that needs to I think it's my Zapdos needs to be sort of EV trained, which I'll take care of later. But apart from that, yeah, pretty much done with my Pokemon now. I mean, I've got to give them nicknames, which I'm sort of halfway through doing, so I'll probably knock that out the rest of the week, I think, so that when we do get Aurus in a couple of weeks, I can sort of transfer my Pokemon over and do what I need to do on that to get the legendaries and blah, 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 and be done, pretty much. It's not bad. 15 years, and I finally have every Pokemon up to 5 IVs and, you know, stuff like that. But no, it's good. I'm happy. It's, you know, it's an accomplishment, I guess. You know, sort of. Yeah, pretty much it. It's all done in Pokemon. I'm just waiting for the new game to come out, and then I can sort of transfer them over and do what I need to do and blah, blah, blah. But I have been playing something which I've been looking forward to playing for ages, because literally I've been sort of umming and ahhing it whether it's not to buy it. Because, I mean, I saw this last year at the Eurogamer Expo. It was on one of the screens that was showing, I think, near the Nintendo booth. And it was like, this game and some other bits and pieces while I was queuing up for 3 hours to play fucking Pokemon. But yeah, it's Steam World Dig. And it's on PlayStation Network, and it's free this month. So if you've got PlayStation Plus, pick it up. It is an amazing game, and it's very, very fun. Basically, it plays a lot like Dig Dug. I mean, I'm sort of showing my age now. But basically, you're this little robot guy, and you have to find, I think it's your uncle, grandfather, some sort of relative in a cave, and he's dead, or scrap metal, pretty much. And it's basically, you've got to take up his legacy of exploring the caves and the underworld society by mining and getting jewels and gold and all sorts of stuff. And then basically coming back to the surface, trading in for money, upgrading your gear, and it's basically a rinse and repeat of that. But I say it's very addictive and very, very fun. I mean, literally, I've been playing for hours and hours and hours. I'm kind of stuck where I am now because, I mean, I've got a certain amount of money and I'm not exactly too sure where I'm supposed to go. So it's... I'm playing the M&R game and probably going to have a look on GameFAQs later to find out where I do need to go. But yeah, I say it is a really fun game, and I love the fact that it's the sort of a collectathon. I mean, there's like, I think it's like four different stores that I've opened up. Is it two? No, three. Three different stores, and they're all like for upgrading your gear, because, I mean, there's in each sort of level, there's rooms, like mini challenge rooms, I'd say, where you have to, I mean, the one I've just done now is like a sort of acid room, where there's got these... some of the bricks that you find, there's acid drops from them and it melts other bricks, and you've got to try and get yourself from one side of the room to the other and up across and then into the special portal type thing, and it'll upgrade you or give you access to something. I mean, my character's got like a sort of steam jump ability, which you need like water for, and you sort of jump up higher. There's like a sort of a power punch, which like your pickaxe. Which you can smash through the walls with. It's a very, not overly complicated, but it's a pain to describe it. You sort of think sort of Minecraft, sort of that sort of thing, but it's 2D, and you sort of, you know, smash through bricks to, you know, get from one side to the other. This is my second playthrough of doing it. I did the first one, but I wasn't too happy about how I was building my tunnels to... get across. I mean, I'm not exactly too happy with how I built my tunnels now, but most of the tunnels that I have built and in the places have been to try and find all the loot, which I've got most of. I'm sort of stuck now because I've mined my way to pretty much the bottom of this chasm, and it's like, okay, I've got to go lower, but I don't know where I'm supposed to go, and it doesn't really give you much direction of where to go, since in each sort of underground room area, there's like a couple of different parts where you need to go here to get these upgrades. And I think I've got all the upgrades for where I am, so I'm sort of stuck on where I go next. I mean, I know I'll have to look it up. But yeah, I'm having so much fun with this. And, you know, literally, I mean, I was playing this before the show started, because literally it's always more gold and stuff to find, which you could trade in to get your level up. I mean, I think I'm at level 13, level 14 with my character. And, you know, every couple of levels you unlock some new shop and they have parts, and it's basically like that. But it is lots of fun. I mean, there's enemies as well. There's like a sort of insect type thing which are hiding in the walls, which are great because they open up when you're digging around, they sort of explode a little bit where they sort of bust out of the walls where they're sort of fossilized. But you can sort of take them out with your pickaxe. There's like sort of underground zombie type, not zombies, but like the Morlocks from you know, the Time Machine. They're sort of like that, and they run around with like dynamite and stuff. And there's like a fatter one which has like acid bottles that he throws at you. So like, you got one that throws dynamite, and you got one that throws acid bottles. And there's like a sort of metal turtle thing which fires spikes at you, which destroy walls as well. It's a really fun game. And I say it's free, and I highly recommend people to play it. But yeah, I say I am so much fun just enjoying it and just playing away for hours and hours at it. It's really, really good. And I'm just trying to think, because literally there's a gauge on how many it says, I think it's like how many minutes and hours you've played. I think it must be like 400 and something minutes. So it's a good, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours, you know, just playing and just mining through this ground. I'd say it's very fun and it's very addictive. But yeah, I say not much more I've played this week. I mean, I say I am looking forward to like Assassin's Creed, even though I literally, before the show, say I'm just sort of looking up more show prep and news and all sorts of stuff to keep you entertained. And this one's got sort of mixed reviews, people liking it, people hating it. But I mean, people have said about the fact that it's, well, I'm just trying to think about what this article I read, that it was like, it's sort of more of the same. But to be honest, though, it's like, what, the seventh? Hang on one sec. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it's like the seventh Assassin's Creed game we've got, you know, one each year. And there's a complaint it's more of the same. I mean, that's what I've seen with like Call of Duty, which why I haven't bought it. I mean, I know John from Hippo Chose, I think he's bought it. I know Royce has got it because I'm seeing him play it. But it's like, I just, you know, some stuff is good to play more of the same. I mean, Assassin's Creed, I mean, trust, this could be my last Assassin's Creed game that I buy. I mean, I am interested in buying Rogue. I might get that for my PlayStation 3. But I'm sort of on the fence because I want to know where the story is going with this. I mean, trust, they could have wrapped the story up two games ago with Connor's story and just ended it there. But I mean, trust, the way that ended, you know, Desmond dying and all that sort of stuff. It's a mismatch, and people are, I've just seen loads of videos and posts and on various pages and stuff about the story, how it's crazy and mad and insane. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm sort of feeling that. And I don't really know too much about the Assassin's Creed game, this new one. I mean, yes, I know it's set in France in the French Revolution. And you assassin, blah blah blah. There's no multiplayer, it's all co-op stuff these days, which is going to be fun. But I don't really know much about the story. I mean, the guy has a name, but I haven't bothered to learn it yet because I'm not playing it, so I'll wait until I do. But apart from that, I'm not really too sure what's going on. I mean, this could be my my last Assassin's Creed game, because I want to know where they're going with the, basically, I mean, the last one, it was, you were the person in the Animus, testing out, like, going through memories and stuff of, fuck, who was the guy in the last one? Wasn't Edward Kenway, was it? Could be. Yeah, Edward Kenway, yeah, because it was Black Flag. But yeah, I'm not too sure where this is going with the single-player story. Not like when you're in the Animus, I'm talking about the main overworld character, if that's you again or that's someone else. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But to be honest, it is one big test. I mean, they really need to start wrapping the stuff up with the Assassin's Creed stuff. I know it's a whole fucking cash cow and people keep buying like Call of Duty and stuff, but it's a very finite story. I mean, if they keep going back and forth with the plot line and stuff like that, it's going to turn into basically what Metal Gear Solid was and how complicated that story is. I was listening to... I was listening to it. Talk Radio Meltdown. It was their last show on the station. And I managed to sort of listen to it while I was crying my eyes out. But yeah, I say, you know, they talk about the Saw franchise and that sort of stuff, how there could be another one of that, and was it seven wasn't enough. You know, it's just all these movies and, you know, sequels after sequels with games that we get in the same stuff. But it's like, yeah, there's a reason why games like Guitar Hero, Rock Band, they sort of, you know, buried themselves, and Tony Hawk buried themselves into the ground. I've got a fucking article on that as well to bring up. They just sort of buried themselves into the ground because it's just too many sequels. And it was like, yeah, okay, you've told your story, now you need to move on. And I don't know. I mean, as I say, Assassin's Creed Black Flag was it game of the year for me last year. I'm not too sure what's going to be this year. I mean, I've played so much stuff this year. Worth to find out in a few weeks. But I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I'm trying to think how the game can be improved. I can't even say that. I can't even say how the game's going to be improved because I haven't played it yet. I know people have. But I mean, I'm not gonna. I mean, I want to read some reviews on like Dragon Age. I've seen some bits and pieces on that, but Assassin's Creed stuff, I'm sort of leaving well alone until I actually get my hands on it and then play it and then go through other people's reviews and compare it to what I think, really. But I mean, you're going to hear what I think next week when I talk about it, and the fact that Far Cry 4 comes out next week as well, which is good because it comes out on a day I'm off, so I'll be playing that part of the day, even though I'm sort of trying to focus more on Assassin's Creed at the moment and then sort of knock out Far Cry 4 once that's finished. So hopefully they'll all be finished by the time I do the Game of the Year show, because there's still more stuff coming out. I mean, I've still got Pokemon this year to do, see how that stands against all the main console stuff. There's just a whole bunch of stuff that I'm looking forward to playing and looking forward to talking about. But yeah, I say, Assassin's Creed, it's out. I can't wait. So I need more stuff to play. There's not really much stuff that needs, me to pay attention to it, to be honest. I'm looking at other stuff. I mean, we got, was it Dragon Age is out, was coming out. The Evil Within is out, but I'm not that fussed about playing that at the moment. The new Lego game's out this week. I'm looking forward to that. There's just so much stuff coming out which I don't really have time to play at the moment, or the cash knocking around to buy stuff. Otherwise, I would have bought all this stuff by now, And we've got Grand Theft Auto with its first person mode that's coming out. It's just so much stuff I want to play, and it's literally I've got to slowly make my way through this stuff and play it and then sell it and make some money back off the discs and play this, and then just so I can have some money to come back and I can buy other stuff and then sell it on again. And it's just one sort of big mix of stuff that I need to play and stuff that I need to do and just stuff that needs to be taken care of, really. But yeah, so that's pretty much all I've been playing. I mean, I with Netflix, they added Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm so tempted to get into that. I mean, I thought I downloaded it to iTunes. There's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Type game on there that you play on the iPod, I think. Unless it's only iPad only, which is a bastard. But yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to pick up a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game for my 3DS, but wait and see. I'd rather have the choice. As much as it was expensive the last time I started playing Yu-Gi-Oh! About 10 years ago, it's very expensive. I mean, I should probably just go for the straight up 3DS game rather than the actual cards. But yeah, I did like playing the card game. It was fun, even though I wasn't super good at it. But I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'll go into some sort of new stuff, because I know I've got. Oh, that's what I'm going to talk about next week. Topic I might have talked about this before, but I say, as we have new consoles out and there's everything's changing, I'm going to talk about the community, like us, me, you, that person down the streets, person sitting next to you right now, or how's people's view on the community changed with the fact that we are getting newer consoles? What does, basically just stuff like that, how we're treating each other online, where things are going with basically everything. Anything you'd want to think of, let me know. I've given you the details about about how to contact us, and I will do it at the end of the show. So keep listening, and I will tell you then. But let's go some Destiny stuff, because I've got to get that stuff out of the way so I can move on to other stuff. Because literally, I've got so much new stuff to talk about this week. I mean, I hit most of it last week, and I hope to hit most of it this week again. Because we've got Mass Effect stuff, as Call of Duty stuff, and yeah, it's just so much stuff. It's just amazing. Plus, I've got some lists as well, which, if I can be asked, I'll go through. Let's go with... Where is it? I had it a second ago. Okay, oh, there we go, yes. Destiny 2. this is from CVG. Destiny 2 development already underway, says Activision. Activision publisher CEO Eric Hirschberg said during the firm's earnings call on Tuesday, this was like last week, confirmed, that was, yeah, this is last year, yeah, so a week ago, has already begun on the next full game release in the new Destiny IP, along with more DLC expansion content for the existing game, which launched in September. Wow, it's launched in September. Has it been 2 months I've been playing this shit? Jesus, no wonder I'm so bored. Destiny's, Bungie's first person Halo release and a new IP for its new Activision partner, publishing partner Activision, was released on September 9th on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, Xbox 360. Activision has said that it sold over $500 million worth of Destiny. Yeah, sorry, $500 million worth of Destiny copies to retailers for its launch day, with around $325 million worth sold to consumers in its first 5 days on the market. This marketed the biggest new launch IP in UK history, with Activision labelling it the most pre-ordered new video game franchise in history. Destiny sales in September broke records for Sony's PlayStation Store digital marketplace, driving the... stuff I've already read. It's a nothing article, but Destiny 2, it's on the way, people. I'm looking forward to it. But thing is, though, I mean, there's been so many problems with this first Destiny, with the servers, everyone's complaining. I followed the Bungie and Destiny Facebook pages, and I see everyone's complaints about the servers and all that sort of problem we've been having, and people are bored. This game has great potential, and it has done a lot of good stuff. I mean, it's got me excited for sort of, you know, MMORPG style games. It keeps me playing daily, even if it's just to do, you know, the daily quest stuff. But, you know, it needs more to it. I mean, I'm sort of scratching the walls for some matchmaking. Because, you know, I want to do the raid stuff, but we don't have it. But I mean, there's so much stuff that can be learnt from Destiny that can be put into Destiny 2. Like, you know, having a story would be nice. You know, not forcing these fucking stupid grimoire cards down our throats. Maybe, you know, put the details on screen that way, we can read it that way, so we know what's going on. But trust, I mean. It's one of those things. We've all got the ability to sort of go and read the grimoire cards. I've tried once or twice to read a couple of cards. I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't care. I just want to shoot shit. And that's pretty much everyone's... it's a Bungie game, so that's pretty much all anyone wants to do is just shoot shit and have fun. And I have been, and lots of fun. But after 2 months, the server problems haven't really bothered me, to be honest. I mean, they're slightly annoying every now and again, but it's... Excuse me. It's not something that I'm worried about. I mean, I get on plenty of time and I do what my character. I mean, that's the thing I was just thinking now. It's like, next thing I'll probably have to do is make me make a new character, like a hunter or warlock or something. Because, you know, my Titan's at level 29 and there's only so far he can go. And, you know, it's just a thing, really, I guess. I mean, and now that I have, you know, fully upgraded my armor, if I do get enough motes of light and I get a piece of armor that can be worn by either a hunter or a titan, hunter or warlock, then that's good. But, you know, trying to find stuff to do is a bit, you know, it's a bit weird. I have this. This is from Kotaku. Some excellent changes are coming to Destiny. There's what this new update we're supposed to be getting. What we know about some tweaks and additional additions coming to Destiny alongside the game's expansion. Bungie today spoke a little about some other changes coming to the game. And some of these changes are very, very welcome. Mentioned briefly with little additional information, at least for now, Bungie says players can soon expect, and they've just bullet pointed this, it's a very short article this, but new shaders for your gear, which... I don't mind. I never really pay attention to what my my character looks like most of the time. I mean, I'm sort of happy with. I'm more interested in the armor and how that looks, but the shaders are okay. Ways to improve items before you spend. Ways to preview items before you spend your glimmer, which would be great on some of the. The shaders and banner stuff where the speaker is. There's a woman there who sells you stuff, but you can't preview what your shader looks like, this, you know, the potential shader, which should be something that's there, considering the fact that other items, like your little skirt things for Titans, or your hoods for Hunters, and your nice coats for Warlocks, you can sort of preview that stuff, and your guns, and you can preview all sorts of stuff. But you can't preview what a shader looks like. How does that work? Greater chances of showers in public spaces. I'm not too sure what that... it's literally in quotation marks. I'm guessing it's probably like, you know, gear, stuff like that. You know, cryptograph engrams, so we get some better stuff from, I don't know, public events. Which, to be honest, I mean, the only thing you get for public events is, you know, Ascendant Energy or Ascendant Shards. And that's if you, you know, kill the big boss at the end. I mean, I've got a few of those Ascendant Energies recently, which has helped me out, but it's not much. I mean, trust me, I've barely touched, because I have barely played any Destiny. I haven't touched any multiplayer. I mean, I've got nothing to do in single player. Everything's done. But yeah, I literally got a couple of bits to improve on my gun. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, I'll be playing nonstop until I get that enough crucible marks with that sniper rifle. Yeah, I haven't even bothered. I'm sort of done with Destiny, but I'll wait for some new stuff. I'll wait to see what the expansion's like and then do something else. But because I want matchmaking. I want to, you know, stuff we still have. I mean, I know they're trying to sort of postpone the matchmaking for a later date or something, or just ignore the fact that we want something. But, I mean, you know, my friends aren't... they aren't online all the time. And it would be nice if, you know, they were, but obviously they're not, so I'll have to find randoms, and I don't really want to go trolling through message boards looking for people. I'd rather just sort of jump into it. I mean, we've been playing this game for 2 months. I've been playing with people doing strikes with no microphones, and we all know what we're supposed to do when we go and do a strike or we fight a boss. We know, you go there, I'll shoot it, draw the ag, then shoot it, you can shoot it, then draw it away from me, and just rinse and repeat, so it's just sort of... I mean, that I can't remember what the fuck it is. One of the strikes where you got that big chained up monster. Yeah, I've had some really good fights against that thing, trying to bring it down. But yeah, here we are. More stuff here. It says adjustments to some arenas that need better traffic flow, so less choke points, you know, bigger maps, that sort of stuff. But I mean, some of the maps, it's weird. Some of the maps, even the biggest sort of walkthrough areas, can be classed as a choke point. I mean, it's been so long. I haven't played it at the game. I barely remember the maps. But there's like one map that's got like some sort of cave on it, where there's like you know, if you're doing the control, I think it's point A is there. But yes, yeah, some good really giant choke points in there, and it's good. It's good. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm happy with how the arenas are, and they're fun. I mean. One of them, that Twilight, something I'm not too happy with. I think it's one by the Cosmodrome. But, I mean, I have fun with that anyway. They're all really good maps. New economies to equip you with upgrade materials. Yeah, I'm guessing smaller shops and stuff. Like, you can buy, actually, this stuff. Because, I mean, I'm sure the Glimmer maxes out at 25,000. That's as far as it goes. And you need something to do with it. I mean, yes, you can, when you're upgrading your gear, that sort of stuff, and your weapons, and you need, I don't know, 20 spin metal, and you need about 20,000 glimmer. So, okay, that's fine. And then, you know, apart from that, there's no other use for it. I mean, I'm sort of wasting my glimmer when I go to, you know, I've maxed out, I need to buy weapons and stuff. And I just go in and I buy stuff, and it just, you know, gets rid of the glimmer. And I get items and bits and pieces from dismantling stuff. And, you know, even none of that helps me either, the way that I am these days. I'm sitting on, is it 356 bits of plasma steel? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't really need any more because I can't use it on anything. But you've got here, fixes, patches, and other invisible technical evolutions. Yeah, that's what you expect. Some other tricks up there, up our sleeve is what they're saying. So, matchmaking would be nice. Here we go. Yes, this is maybe even a more generous cryptarch. He's still sort of a bastard. A little bit. He's a pain in the ass, is what he is. I mean, it's nice to get a rare item. Rare engram. But the fact that when he pops out, it's the little hood or the hip thing for the Titans or a coat. Yeah, I was like, I don't need that shit. I've got a legendary hip thingy. why do I need this piece of crap which does nothing? It's pretty much, you know, faction neutral. It does nothing anyway to change up the character. But yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff that, you know, we could change with Destiny. But I mean, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, I'm bored of talking about Destiny. I've talked about it for so long. Where's that stuff I was looking at earlier? Okay, one sec. Nintendo. Nintendo had a good week this week. I found some really decent articles. Let's go into some Nintendo stuff. This is from Eurogamer. Majora's Mask is getting remade on 3DS. Finally. Let's have a read this story. I mean, I'll read the story first. The Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, the horrifying, surreal 2000 adventure. Wow, has it been that long? Shit, nearly 15 years. I love that. In fact, this game is so old. When it came out, there's kids being born who are finishing school next year. That's how old this game is. It's getting a 3DS remake in spring next year. Nintendo announced in its latest Nintendo Direct live stream will be available as a special edition that comes with a sweet pin badge of the the mask. There we go. Jim Carrey comes as extra. A special steel case and a double-sided poster. Yay! Majora's Mask features a Groundhog Day-like premise where Link relives the same 3 days forever and ever as he tries to save the doomed world of Termina from a cruel, grimacing moon hurtling towards the planet. There's an update to this as well, which I'll read. Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D Special Edition now has pics and a trailer, which can be seen, and I'll post on the Facebook page later. But yeah, I say I didn't like Majora's Mask. I liked Ocarina of Time, even though I had it on my 3DS, and I just couldn't complete it because I just got so bored and, you know, whatever. But no doubt I probably would have beaten the shit out of the fucking cartridge because trying to do the boss looks kind of tricky. When it comes to trying to control the arrow. I mean, I've seen the boss battle, you know, against Ganon. I've seen it several times on YouTube videos and stuff, so I know how it ends. But I don't know, Majora's Mask. Yay! I mean, just I don't think anyone was surprised by this. The fact that they brought out Ocarina of Time a few years back as 3DS, and this one was. You know, it's coming out really soon, so they've been working on it for a while. Ocarina of Time 3D remake did so well. Of course, they were going to make this. It's just a matter of time before it came out. And, which is good, I guess. I mean, I'm not going to pick it up because I didn't like Majora's Mask, to be honest. I have, no interest in doing the whole 3-day stuff and all the, I did all that stuff when I had it on my N64. I didn't like it then, and I'm probably not going to like it now. And in fact, there's, I have other stuff to play. When's it supposed to be out? Was it next year? Springtime, I said, wasn't it? Yeah. Springtime. Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun to play, but, there's other stuff to play in that time of the year. No doubt I'll probably be on my 16th playthrough of Aorus or whatever. Let's talk about some of the amiibo stuff. Here we go. Yeah, I'll go with this one first. I've got two topics about it. It's probably the same thing, but I'll have a read anyway. This is from CVG. Nintendo considering allowing third-party amiibo support. NFC platform generating a ton of interest from third-party partners. Nintendo is considering extending amiibo support to third-party development partners. Excuse me. It says, this is from... Damon Baker, he told IGN, says, we're having these conversations and we're still early on because Amiibo isn't even going to launch until later this month. If it helps if I scroll down the page, that way I can see what I'm reading. We're excited to see how that pans out. But there's a ton of interest from our third-party partners. We're looking at what makes sense in terms of business models and levels of integration. They are really creative ideas. They are coming through. That's one sentence. There are really creative ideas that are coming through, and we are working towards some of the opportunities for next year. Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and Mario Kart 8 will be among the first titles to support Amiibo, and probably the only ones, which will also be compatible with 3DS systems using a peripheral dice scheduled to launch in 2015. The first wave of Amiibo figures hit USA stores, North American stores on November 21st. Before launching in the European shops a week later. It will comprise of Mario, Peach, Donkey Kong, Yoshi, Link, Fox, Samus, Pikachu, Wii Fit Trainer, the Villager, Kirby, and Moth. Each figure is going to cost about $13 or £11. Second wave will feature Zelda, which is pretty cool. Diddy Kong, Luigi, Little Mac, Pit, and Captain Falcon. Nintendo senior management director Shigeru Miyamoto recently told investors that the company is working on an Amiibo card range, as well as smaller, cheaper Amiibo figures, which is basically this next article, which I have to read to you, good selves. I'm tempted to get one of the Amiibo figures. Mainly because I want the Pikachu one, would be nice. It could sit on my shelf and do bugger all, like half the other little figures and stuff that I've collected over the years. This is from CVG. Nintendo is developing smaller, cheaper Amiibo toys and NFC cards. Nintendo will launch other forms of Amiibo in the future. The company has announced including Amiibo cards and a small Amiibo toys. The company's first two waves of Amiibo figurines will retail for £11, but these new options will be cheaper. Amiibo can take forms other than figures. Nintendo President Satoru Iwata explained in a recent investor Q&A. He says, the Amiibo product range will also include cards in the future. For example, when Amiibo become cards, we can create a game which can be played only by passing several cards over the NFC reader, and the result will be stored in the Amiibo card. I cannot discuss any of the details today, but Amiibo has a potential to propose new ways to play card games. I'm just saying this now. They are really... I mean, I know they're putting a lot of stock in this Amiibo shit, but Disney does it with Disney Infinity, and the Spyro Skylander stuff. They are putting so much thought and effort into this stuff, which is probably going to tank, really. Why have you got to pay, $13, £11 for a DLC character? Who fucking does that? It's really expensive and a damn waste of money. I'll carry on because there's more to this article. Where was I? Oh, here we go. Yeah, sorry. Iwata described the idea of an advanced version of its earlier e-reader peripheral, which scans compatible cards into games such as Pokemon and Animal Crossing. We will also launch smaller and even more affordable Amiibo figures in the future. So we hope that with this variety of price points, consumers will be able to enjoy a number of Amiibo. I don't see it. I really don't. I don't see this thing taking off at all. I mean, Skylanders has cornered the market. I know Disney's got its Disney Infinity stuff. I mean, I don't know anyone who has any of the Disney Infinity stuff or Skylanders stuff. I mean, because I'm 30 years old. I don't really know any kids, so I don't really know. People who are buying these figures left, right, and centre. Are probably rich families anyway, and I don't know anybody like that. But I'll carry on. Nintendo is now internally discussing how it can use Amiibo with an Animal Crossing game. Although Iwata did not specify whether this would be the current 3DS iteration, New Leaf, or an announced new version for the Wii U, which would be interesting, to be honest. Last night, Nintendo detailed how Amiibo would work in a number of upcoming games, including Mario Kart 8 and Hyrule Warriors. I don't see this thing doing well at all. I know there's plenty of people who would buy this shit up. I would say I'd buy at least one for the Pikachu one. I mean, if I was more of a fan of Metroid or whatever, I'd probably buy that. I mean, yes, there's a Star Fox one. I like Star Fox, and you know, most people do. But you know, the Pikachu one probably more fitting for me, to be honest, considering that it's considering who I am. Here we go. Yeah, this is from CVG. Nintendo's US boss would love more multi-platform blockbusters on the Wii U. But Reggie Fils-Aimé also said Nintendo has the strongest exclusive content. This could be interesting. Let's have a read of this. Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé has admitted that he'd love to see more third-party multi-platform games released on the Wii U, although he insists his main focus is on offering customers customers' experiences that they can't get on rival platforms. While major third-party publishers initially showed support for the Wii U, that has dried up and somewhat due to lower-than-expected hardware sales following the console's release in 2012 of November. Which is, it's been out for 2 years and people still don't care. I mean, it's quite funny, they've got Miyamoto in a picture standing next to Reggie playing with the Wii U. I'm like, yeah, you two are the assholes who only care about the Wii U. No one else does. We're just waiting for the next thing to be from Nintendo. And say Nintendo's working on it, because I've seen articles about people talking about it. So we're going to be getting something new anyway, hopefully soon, because the Wii U is a dead stick. It's the original Xbox for Nintendo, to be honest. But saying that, and Nintendo put out the GameCube, which I liked because I got to play some Star Wars Rogue Squadron, but there really wasn't anything else. Apart from Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, don't think there was anything else worth playing. Unlike 2013's Call of Duty Ghosts, this year's Call of Duty Advanced Warfare wasn't released on the Wii U, nor were the past two FIFA games, although EA Chief Operating Officer Peter Moore told CVG in August that the console was still under consideration for future series releases. Ubisoft backed Wii U significantly with system exclusives on Wii U and fellow console launch title Assassin's Creed 3, but neither performed as the company had hoped. Both of the year's Assassin's Creed games aren't being both of this year's Assassin's Creed games aren't being released on the Wii U, and Ubisoft president CEO. CEO says, Yves Guillemot has said, the upcoming Wii U version of The Watch Dogs will be the last mature game that releases on the system. Yeah, it's because it's a Wii U. No one wants to. How the hell are you supposed to play a game with a controller that has a screen on it? Games, you've got to think, you've got to have games. I've said this before many a times. When you design a peripheral or a console handheld or, a controller, sorry, not console handheld, the controller, you've got to design it so that it can be used with any sort of game that can be made. But you've got something that's big and bulky with a TV screen on it. What can you do with that apart from what you've already got with the 3DS, as bad as it makes me say, the PSP and iPads and stuff, which they were trying to copy with the Wii U pad. It's an iPad, whatever, but and it just didn't work. Here we go. Asked how problematic the decreased third-party support for the Wii U is, Reggie Fils-Aimé said, Recode? He says that I would love to answer the question in a couple of ways. Third parties are bringing multi-platform content to our platform. Watch Dogs from Ubisoft, as an example. Considering the fact that I just read that Yves Guillemot said that Watch Dogs will be the last mature game that people will see from Ubisoft, so basically there'll be no more Ubisoft titles apart from, was it Raven Rabbits, whatever that game's called. Even though I'd love to watch the show, actually it's pretty good. Watch Dogs from Ubisoft is an example. He says I would love to have Call of Duty on our platform. I would love to have any of the big blockbuster multi-platform titles. Yes, so would everyone who bought a Wii U, but if you want the big sort of AAA titles, Call of Duties, your Assassin's Creed, that sort of stuff, then you got to build a console that people want to play. I have no interest in a Wii U or Wii. I mean, my old man is a Wii, but we haven't played that for ages. It's sort of just sort of sits gathering dust. But yeah, trying to find, you know, so I do feel bad for Nintendo, but to be honest though, you made a fucking console that it's so niche and awkward that you've got to try and get stuff for it. It's weird. But I have to say, more specifically, I want games that provide a different, this is I think Reggie talking, I guess, it's a differentiated consumer experience. If you look at the other two competitive platforms, fundamentally, what's the difference? When you look at either one, either by themselves, doesn't have a lot of exclusive content, but there's also, but they have a lot of shared content, which is true. I mean, I was trying to think about Assassin's. One year into the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Deep Down. I say I've been watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy today and yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking forward to Dragon Age. It's just got to get me in the mood, and I'm looking forward to Deep Down as well. I mean, that's gonna be a really good game when it does come out. But trying to wait for this stuff, it's a waiting game. It is. It really is. But yeah, it's a lot of waiting around till we get it. And before we get anything interesting on the Wii U as well, but. Time that comes around, we'll probably have a brand new console. They would have ditched the Wii U and moved on to something else, and I don't know. We'll wait and see. But yeah, I'll go on this article. This is a look at it from a standpoint of what don't they have? They don't have, going about the console exclusive stuff. So they don't have our games. They don't have Mario and Zelda. I'd much rather be where Nintendo is, where they differentiate. Differential platform, differentiated setup, experiences that we can provide unique to the customer. It says, let those other guys battle it out over, you know, which visual reputation. Jesus, I am so much trouble talking. I'm opening beer on my break anyway. Which visual reputation. Shit. representation, there we go, of Call of Duty is most compelling. I know. I was watching looking at an article earlier about Assassin's Creed. I was like, yeah, I suppose it runs better on the Xbox One than PlayStation 4. But I'm like, I don't care. Does it run? Does it actually work? Yes, then good. Then I'll play it. But, you know, if it's buggy as hell, then I just leave it. Here we go. The Wii U. Here we go. Sorry. The Wii U stands at 7.29 million units sold as of the September 30th. That compares favourably to PlayStation 4 sales of 13.5 million. Despite having a year ahead to start on the latest consoles from rivals, Sony and Microsoft, Wii U sales are closer to those of Xbox One. Microsoft's console has shipped 5 million units as of March 31st, while a further 3.5 million Xbox One consoles were shipped in the following 6 months to September 30th. This article goes on. However, Nintendo said earlier this month that Wii U sales have been on an upward curve since Mario Kart 8 was released in May, and Phil May suggested that systems improvements improved performance could lead to the stronger third party backing in the years to come. The business is built on a year and a half to 2 years planning cycles, especially for the home console space. Products that they're thinking about today are not going to come into the market until 2 years down the road. By doing a great job today, if in the here and now, that's what's going to feed the pipeline of great new third-party content coming onto our platform. For us, that's the long game that we're trying to play. Yeah, I know it's the long game he's going on about, but the Wii U isn't going to be. The Wii U was a mistake. Yes, you had a bit of luck, you know, a decent bit of luck with the Wii. I mean, I know all the articles I read on fucking Games Radar. It's like 25 most bought games, and they've got fucking a copy of Wii Sports. I'm like, yeah, it's a packing title. It's like a demo disc. Shut up. Stop posting this shit in front of our face. Dude, it's a joke. Where was I? Yes. Fishman also said that Nintendo won't introduce a Wii U successor until developers hit a ceiling on what the existing console's potential. Well, yeah, sure. I don't know if you hit a wall, but if people are having trouble building stuff for it, then you need to make stuff easier for them to play. And I wouldn't have a problem with three consoles being pretty much the same, since the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One are still the same. I mean, I've got enough money at the moment, I can probably buy an Xbox One, but I don't think there's anything I'd actually want to buy on it, really. I mean, Dead Rising 3, there's nothing. We are lacking on the console exclusives. There's bits and pieces stuff out, but most of the stuff is multi-platform. So it's pretty much, you know, pick your poison. Which console do you want to play it on? You know, which console is everyone else playing it on? This is what our mentality is. Fairly soon after we launched new hardware, we already begin thinking about what's next. That's an ongoing process for us. In the end, what galvanizes us is when our developers have a great gaming experience, and that can't be done on the current platform. We're not there just yet on the Wii U. Yeah, I don't think so either. The experiments that Shigeru Miyamoto showed at E3 showed that there's a lot of innovation to be mined within the Wii U. We showed off the beginnings of a Zelda game coming to the Wii U. We have a lot more content to create for the Wii U, but there we're always thinking about what's coming next. Yeah, I guess I get that. I mean, but to be honest though, everyone hates the Wii U. Yes, you sold about, was it 7 million? Was it 7, 8 million? Anyway, yeah. 7.5 million units. Well, 7.25 million, there we go, since September. You know, between launch and September. That's not a lot over 2 years. It's barely worth noticing. I mean, you know, you've got Christmas and birthdays and stuff in between that. And it's still not selling, you know, shipping out. Nintendo needs to sort themselves out. They need something to wow the people, something to, I don't know, something just get people interested in what they've got. I mean, I say Nintendo has a lot of, it's not potential, but they've got a lot of history with the games they've made on the consoles they've had, the handhelds they've made, and they've made a console now which no one wants to play, and there's not many games out on it that are worth giving a damn about. Just very sort of lackluster with everything, really. But yeah, hopefully Nintendo will pull it around and, you know, do something decent with it, but it's tricky. I don't know. We'll wait and see. I'm going to take a quick break because I need a rest. But I will be back once these messages are done. I have a lot more new stuff to talk about. So just try and sort of nail through it as quick as I can so I can get to everything and not run out. But I'll be back in about 10 minutes. I'll leave you with these messages. I will speak to you soon.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio, all one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and that is a big news.
Ra-
Rabbi Little Richards.
No, we'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. That's all I hear. Yo, I got pain. I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
Sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at CZWrestling.com. That's CZWrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises. Blah, 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 blah. I can't understand what
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, excuse me,
What the trunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the trunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, Deborah. Oh,
kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Deborah.
fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember, Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for The Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you doing?
I meant I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey guys, check out my sweet Chim Pokemon doll.
Please, Chim Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chim Pokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chim Pokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chim Pokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
King Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chim Pokemon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I'd better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bum the harbor. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bum the harbor.
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure. This game rules.
And welcome back, everyone, to part two of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I thought best to bring that, play that rejoiner, because I am ready to destroy the evil power. I have all the Pokemon. I am very proud and very happy. I do need to pick up. I need to pick up my download code for DNC. I will do that over the next couple of days, which will be good. When we do get Aurus, I can download that one and, bits and pieces and whatever. Yeah, no, just more Pokemon stuff, blah, 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 blah. Let's get rid of that. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, so I did a whole lot of Nintendo news. There's not much Microsoft stuff. There's bits and pieces here and there, which I've put for the main stuff. But we'll go into some Sony stuff. This was from CVG. Minecraft leads October's PlayStation Network sales charts. Sony reveals that the top digital games in Europe and North America. This is here we go. Yeah, Drive Club was number one game on PlayStation 4 in Europe, and undertaken by Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor in North America. Let me scroll down. Yeah, Minecraft came out on top on the PlayStation 3 and the Vita, and also charted highly on PlayStation 4 on both continents.
Top 10s for each platform can be viewed below, which I'm going to read. For further sales data, head over to the EU and the blogs. But yeah, for Europe, we have Drive Club, Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Minecraft, FIFA 15, Battlefield 4, Evil Within, Assassin's Creed, Freedom of Cry, Trials Fusion, Destiny, and Assassin's Creed Black Flag. So that was PlayStation 4 of Europe. And we've got Minecraft, FIFA, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, Far Cry 3, Slender, The Arrival, Urban Trial Freestyle, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, Dragon Age Origins, and Destiny. Vita, who gives a shit about the Vita? But North America, PlayStation, we've got, you know, Shadows of Mordor, NBA 2K 15, Minecraft, PlayStation 4 edition, Evil Within, Drive Club, Legend of Korra, which is surprising since it's not even on the Europe list, considering that game is supposed to be really, really shit. Destiny, Outlast, FIFA 15, Alien Isolation, and PlayStation 3, you've got Minecraft, Slender, Borderlands, Destiny, Mirror's Edge, Portal 2, FIFA 15, NBA 2K, Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection, and The Legend of Korra again. Yeah, so some good stuff, some bad stuff, but pretty much the same shit all around, to be honest. I mean, we're waiting for that new Assassin's Creed, waiting for the Far Cry. You know, no doubt, you know, for November, we'll be seeing, like, Call of Duty at the top of everyone's list. That's a whole bunch, I see. Okay, let's see. Here we go. The Walking Dead. Now, this is sort of... I'm tempted to pick up the original Walking Dead, you know, thing, and then buy the second one. But yes, The Walking Dead, this is from CVG as well, all these Sony ones are from CVG. The Walking Dead save transfer bug reported on PlayStation 4. Telltale looking into the cause of the issue. Hopes to have a resolution soon. Telltale Games is investigating an issue that prevents The Walking Dead Season 1 save data transferring to Season 2 on PlayStation 4. Now, I'm waiting until they have the bug fixed, and then I'll probably pick up 1 and Season 2 as well. Because Season 1 was awesome, and from the videos and stuff I've seen from Season 2, it looks pretty good too. Yes, reports suggest that it affects both the physical and digital versions of the game in Europe and Australia. The issues was acknowledged a week ago on the studio's forums, but has yet to be rectified. A Telltale representative wrote at the time, have you tried switching it on and off again? No, this is, we are currently looking into the root cause of the issue, and we hope to have a resolution soon. I will make sure to update the forums when I have already any more news to share regarding this issue. Each season of The Walking Dead comprises of 5 episodes, blah, 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 we all know this. Yes, it's just bullshit. But yeah, so they have no idea what's going on. I mean, when did this article come out? Let's have a look. Yesterday. So yeah, it's been a day. I'm hoping to have something more for you next week. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. Okay, let's have a looky. Let's have a look. Sony stuff. Sony stuff. This is good for UK listeners. Not good for me. PlayStation 4 price cut to £300 at GameStop UK. Save £30 on a white standalone console for a limited time. The GameStop UK has introduced an eye-catching, albeit temporary, PlayStation 4 price cut. The retailer is currently offering a standalone Glacier White PlayStation 4 for £299.97. While stock lasts, representing a £30 saving on its regular price at £329.97. PlayStation 4 has held a recommended retail price of just under £350 since launch in November 2013, although multiple retailers offer the console for £330 anyway. PlayStation 4 sales stood at 13.5 million units as of September. Minecraft. Microsoft's console has shipped 5 million units as of March 31st, while a further 3.5 Xbox One consoles, Xbox consoles One and 360 were shipped in the following 6 months. I just read this earlier, didn't I? As a result, the Xbox maker has been fairly aggressive in terms of altering its pricing structure. So people will buy it. but a global Xbox One price cut was introduced in June when Microsoft released an Xbox One One bundle without Kinect for the first time. That helps sales, I guess. More recently, Microsoft cut the UK Xbox One price for the Kinect Free console to $329.99 in September, while its US arm is currently offering a £50 off any Xbox One console or bundle as part of a Christmas promotion. So, you know, go out there, buy your consoles for the old Christmas. That's just around the corner. Just, 40 days away now? That'll come and go so quickly. Yeah, there's one more bit on the Sony stuff, and I've got some other stuff that I really want to talk about. Call of Duty, as it's out, it's having some problems. Sort of, I guess. I'm not too sure. It's all about share play stuff, and I think I read this share play article, was it last week or week before, and I didn't really understand it. I just sort of nodded and read it. I don't know. I have no interest in SharePlay. It's so fucking stupid. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare blocks PlayStation 4 SharePlay. Sony confirms feature can be disabled. Activision explains decision. Launched in late October as part of the PlayStation 4's system update 2.0 update. SharePlay enables a second user to enjoy multiple software features remotely without having to own the game being played by the host, including taking control of the title during 60-minute sessions. Yeah, so you get to play a demo, basically. However, Reddit users report that Activision has made special use of the SharePlay's block scheme option, which is intended to avoid spoilers by limiting access to certain scenes, by extending it across the entire game, effectively disabling the feature. Advanced Warfare PlayStation 4owners attempting to use the SharePlay report being greeted with the following message. The host game screen is not displayed because the current screen is a blocked scene for SharePlay. Wait until the blocked scene is finished. During a PlayStation 4 event last month, Sony ducked our attempts to find out if all publishers were on board with the SharePlay, but the company confirmed today that developers can choose to disable it. So basically, Sony have added a feature to their consoles, which most developers are going to basically say, "Yep, we're not going to bother with this. We'll disable it." So you've got a feature that nobody's using, nobody works, and no one gives a monkey's about it. The platform holder told CVG, "SharePlay is a system level feature enabled by System Software 2.0. Even though we had I think it was 2.0.3 or something that came out today. I know which I turned my PlayStation on earlier. I had to update it, so I did. But, however, the option is available to developers to disable the feature according to what they feel the best benefit the consumer experience. I'd say just disable it. It's a waste of time. Explaining Activision's decision to disable the SharePlay feature, a spokesperson for the company told CVG, delivering a great gaming experience for the fans is our top priority. We're focused on launching Advanced Warfare and ensuring that people have a great time playing it, which our fans seem to be. SharePlay is a new feature that was introduced as part of the recent PlayStation 4 firmware 2.0 update. Our engineers didn't have access to it before it launched, so we haven't had a chance to evaluate it to see how it will impact the experience across all modes of play. Well, of course, we wouldn't include a feature in our game without having the chance to test it. Once we've fully analysed its performance, we'll determine how to support it for going forward. And so that's pretty much it. It's like, developers can disable it. I guess it's such a really shit feature. I mean, I know you can sort of play demos and stuff, and it's sort of like that. You get a little taster of the main game for about 60 minutes. I don't know. It's not what... I just see it as a waste of time, I'm afraid. I don't really see the whole point in this share play stuff. I mean, I remember when was it... Kojima came out with his transferring... and that pretty much fucking went nowhere. It's just a pain in the ass, it really is. I don't know. I'll do some Call of Duty stuff, because I've got some bits and pieces here. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare outsells Call of Duty Ghost in the UK. This is from Eurogamer. Advanced Warfare sold more copies during its launch week than last year's Call of Duty Ghost in the UK, according to official sales figures from Chart Track. But that claim comes with three major caveats. Firstly, Ghost did not launch on Xbox One at the same time as the other versions. That version arrived in the UK a week later. Secondly, Ghost launched for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One before both consoles were even released, meaning that the many sales were delayed until people could actually play the game. Lastly, it should be noted that Advanced Warfare's Day Zero Edition was available to buy from last Monday, a day earlier than the traditional Tuesday launch, which that may be wonder as well. Meaning it had an extra 24 hours of sales than Ghost. Yeah, that sort of bugged me why it came out on a Monday, since in America most games come out on Tuesdays, and if it's a worldwide release we'll get it on a Tuesday as well, which is why we're getting Far Cry 4 next Tuesday. But yeah, that just weirded me out. I mean, it's good, I guess. We're getting it earlier. But yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. Where was I? Here we go. Even with all of that, Advanced Warfare was only the fifth biggest Call of Duty game to launch in the UK. We'll get a better picture of Call of Duty Advanced Warfare's performance versus its predecessor at the end of the year. FIFA 15 fell to second in the UK all formats chart this week, ahead of the new entry, FIFA Football Manager 2015, in third. Alien Isolation was fourth, Destiny was fifth, Skylanders sixth, and Sunset Overdrive was seventh. Which is a shame. I mean, well, to be honest, that's not bad, considering that that's a pain, actually. I wanted Sunset Overdrive to do better than Skylanders, but you think about it, Sunset Overdrive is an Xbox One exclusive. Skylanders is available on every damn thing. Destiny is available on every damn thing. Alien, yeah, it's not bad for a platform only, Xbox, Microsoft only game. Where was it? Yeah, Evil Within, Forza 2, Disney Infinity 2.0 round out the top 10. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Danger of the Ooze slipped onto the chart in the 36th. As always, it's worth noting that Chart Track's figures do not include download sales. So basically, you can't really say that Call of Duty Advanced Warfare outsells Ghost, because half the numbers are all over the place anyway for both games, and out of date on both games, and it's just, it's selling well. It's at the top of the chart. It's Call of Duty. It came out. It's going to make them a shit ton of money, and they're going to keep making Call of Duty for years and years and years to come. But I do want to sort of highlight this. I know it's literally a bit too late for this article, but I wanted to have a look at it. It's sort of, let's just put some perspective into the fact that we have been getting Call of Duty every year for nearly 10 years now. I mean, literally, this article came out at the end of November. This is from CVG. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare pre-orders significantly down on Ghost, says analyst firm. A report from industry analyst at Cohen & Company claimed that pre-orders for the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare are down significantly from last year's Call of Duty Ghosts. I'm guessing that's probably due to the fact that Ghosts wasn't that good from what I've heard. Advanced Warfare is now pacing almost 40% behind last year's Ghosts, and almost 70% behind 2012's Black Ops 2, says the firm, citing Amazon pre-orders figures for its data. Figures for its data. The significant and ongoing downward slide is an indication that Activision's phenomenal successful shooter series has passed its peak. We continue to believe that Call of Duty will be down meaningfully last versus last year, with the franchise facing two consecutive significant year-on-year decline in sales. We think it's prudent to assume it has peaked. Yeah, Call of Duty peaked with Black Ops, and then has been going down ever since. And possibly Black Ops 2. Sledgehammer Game Studio head Glenn Schofield earlier today expressed his disappointment following a pre-release. The whole leak stuff. But yeah, I say, that's the thing. It makes me wonder, with Call of Duty, it's past it. It's, it's Call of Duty. We've been getting it for the past 7-8 years. And yeah, it's time to knock it on the head or come up with something different. But, we had, Call of Duty 3, was it called? Yeah, Call of Duty 3 was, yeah, 1, 2, and 3 was World War 2. 4 was Modern Warfare. Now we have 7 or 8, whatever this one is. It's Advanced Warfare. Yeah, I mean, I'm having more fun, even though I don't play it as much now, this past week. Destiny, I mean, I'm having fun with it, but I have no interest to pick up, Call of Duty, unless I really, really need to. But, I mean, I have other stuff to play at the moment, so I'm happy with that. I mean, and the fact that Far Cry 4 has a multiplayer mode, so I'll be giving that a go. And Assassin's Creed has the... shit, what the fuck is it? Bollocks. As the co-op stuff. But, you know, we'll see. Let's go into some Tony Hawk news, because that guy's relevant now in 2014. This from Eurogamer. Tony Hawk is working on a new console game for 2015. I'll read the original story and there's like Tony Hawk, Pro Skater Tony Hawk has revealed that he's working on a new console game and a new mobile title due next year. He says, I'm currently working with Activision on a console game for 2015 along with a new mobile game. I think fans of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater series will be hyped, the athlete wrote on Twitter. We've requested comment from Activision on the matter and are waiting reply, because this article came out about 3 days ago. The last Tony Hawk game released was Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD. It was that remake. It was good. I mean, I bought it because it was skating, but it wasn't that good. I'll read the update on this and I'll go into my little diatribe and stuff. Activision has confirmed to Eurogamer that the new Tony Hawk console and mobile titles are coming in 2015, and that Tony Hawk's Shred Session is postponed indefinitely, which is great. But, I mean, when I heard about this, I'm like, oh, great, I'd love a new skateboarding game, but it's one of those things, it's like, yeah, you get it, and it's going to be, okay, yeah, it's pretty much what we had before. Maybe, I don't know, I mean, we haven't had a Tony Hawk game in a couple of years. Has enough time passed to be interested again? Maybe. I mean, it's going to come out and make a whole shitload of money, but it better be bloody good. I mean, you've got to have some really good reviews from people, before we can start, praising the name that is Tony Hawk. And I don't know. Maybe it's just too late, I guess. Let's do some Mass Effect stuff. That's interesting. I like Mass Effect. So does everyone else. BioWare boss polls fans on potential Mass Effect trilogy remake. BioWare Edmonton and Montreal boss Aaron Flynn has discussed the possibility of a remastered Mass Effect trilogy and polled fans on what features they would like included. Writing on a post on NeoGAF, Flynn detailed the most requested features he had heard many times so far, although with the caveats that these ideas were a wish list at this point. The ideas were 1080p, 60 frames per second, high-res textures, especially Mass Effect 1, the inclusion of all DLC and seamless experience to see each game flow into one another without needing to import saves. One user suggested... that the DLC should be organically implemented too, so that it becomes available at appropriate points in each game's story, which would be helpful. Oh, but you must know, I mean, if you... it actually is, organically implemented if you play through the game again, because it pops up, say, Mass Effect 2, where you've got to fight... it's not the Overlord. Is it the Overlord? Who's that big gangland boss that's... the blue Liara starts becoming at the end of the game, and I can't remember the fuck it's called, but yeah, I mean, that if you play it for it again with all the DLC downloaded, it's pretty much organic, it's very organic. He poured water onto the image of changing Mass Effect 1's janky combat mechanics to be more like the streamlined Mass Effect 3. This is a ME3 combat mechanics in ME1 comes up relatively often, but it's not my idea. It's not on my radar. Again, speaks personally. Says he wrote, First, it would be a hell of a lot of work. Second, I hate the idea of accused of retconning Mass Effect 1. The thing is, though, he's talking about doing a remake, like a remastering, but he's moaning about the combat and how it'd be, you know, hard and stuff. And just then don't do this fucking thing, what you're saying you want to do. Yeah, here we go, yeah. Third, he says, I bet everyone on NeoGAF knows this. There were those who prefer Mass Effect 1, it doesn't seem feel the right thing to do. He says, today, November 7th, is N7 Day. Bullshit. BioWare's annual celebration of all things Mass Effect. The company is due to hold a special live stream developer roundtable at 6 p.m. this evening to discuss the future of the franchise. But Flynn has preempted speculation of a surprise trilogy announcement today and stated that, as yet, BioWare has nothing to share. So basically all this roundtable happened, and we didn't really get anything, to be honest. We did get this. Mass Effect 4, combat art teases, new planets and races. BioWare has shown off a selection of new concept images for Mass Effect 4, including the homeworlds of two new alien species, which is sweet. Which actually looked pretty cool, to be honest. While the races themselves were not shown, BioWare... it could be any damn concept art, for that matter. BioWare said that much could be inferred from the look of these home planets. One is a lush, idyllic world where technology and nature appear to be in harmony, which is something I was getting from it as well. The other world is something of the opposite. It looks something to be more like the Borg, dark, angular, and hostile. It's the Geff. Maybe it's them, their home world, possibly. But I don't know. Other environments suggest the scale of the landscapes on offer compared to your Mako, your land vehicle, including what looked like a barren asteroid and a world of old, odd rock formations and bubbling pools. Some of this stuff is pretty cool. One of the most leading images shown was that of a familiar-looking space station. What may be our first look at the new rebuilt Citadel features the same faux sky design now with what looks like a whole forest in space. But you know, I mean, that was on there anyway, I believe, from the stuff I saw. BioWare concluded with a look at the new map interface for players when exploring worlds, suggesting that the developer says it wants you to let you do for hours on end and look at how navigating through space might appear. Which is cool. I'm just trying to look for these photos. Perhaps not as revealing as expected due to the current focus on the impending Dragon Age Inquisition launch. BioWare also stated that the game would feature the story of a new main character on their journey to becoming a hero, not someone like Shepard, who became one from the moment the original Mass Effect trilogy began. With Shepard, you arrive on the scene as a hero, and you were called forward from there. Creative director Mac Waters added in a new BioWare blog post. He says, for the next Mass Effect, however, we've been looking at more of a hero's journey, how you become a legend and what it takes to get there. A post also details some of the new team members working on the game, including lead writer Chris Schleff, who was the former lead writer of Halo 4. The existence of two new alien races in the game fits with early details of the project that were posted online back in 2013 after a select group of fans were invited for an early sneak peek at the game. So I'm hoping Mass Effect 4... I mean, I love Mass Effect. It's one of my favourite games. I mean, it's... we got Knights of the Old Republic from BioWare. And then basically that led us into Mass Effect. But yeah, I want more Mass Effect, and I want it to be set after what's happened to the Citadel. I don't want prequels. I want to know what happens after. I want to know. I mean, as I say, I'm a big, I'm sort of watching bits and pieces of movie. I was watching the watching Lord of the Rings again, and I was like, yeah, I want to know what happens after what happens when the ring's been got rid of, and what happens to Aragorn as king, and I want to know all the stuff that happens after. I don't want to know the prequel stuff. It's just not important. That's why I've got literally no interest in this Borderlands, the pre-sequel. I'm like, yeah, I know what happens in one. I know what happens in two. I don't really know what happens in between. I want to know about the future. I want to know about what's yet to come, that sort of stuff. Mass Effect 4, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome when it does come out. Just give me one sec. I'm just trying to see if this is another article about... here we go. Yeah, more Mass Effect stuff. I know I had a couple more articles. One of them is pretty much what I've just read already, but this is a different one. This is from IGN. Mass Effect creative director says, we're stepping up our game. The creative director for Mass Effect, the next Mass Effect game, has outlined his approach towards a series of next installments. This is more from Matt Walters. Talked about some of the key Mass Effect traits he wanted to incorporate into the new game, and explains a bit about the direction him and his team want to go. He says, we're working to bring back some of that wonder and sense of exploration that we had in the original trilogy. While we're making a next-gen title, we want to ensure that we're stepping up our game so that this isn't just Mass Effect with shiny new features. And we do that by having deep characters and compelling story and choices that matter. I would love this if this game was probably ready for 2016. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. While a compelling story with choices that matter keeps in line with that... with what we love about the series, Walter says that the focus of this game is opening up the world for exploration. There is something that this is something the Mass Effect team has stressed before, saying they want to create a game that is fresh but recognizable. Walter's also stressed the importance of creating a main character distinct from Commander Shepard. He wants to play the following journey of their protagonist from an unknown to a legend, and create a completely new and unique storyline. Walter served as a writer for all three Mass Effect games, lead writer for the last two, and since then he has worked on several Mass Effect comics, including Mass Effect Invasion, Mass Effect Evolution, focused on Arya Tulloch and the Elusive Man, respectively. Although BioWare's posts reveal several newcomers to the franchise, Walters is confident that the team's talent and deep respect for the universe will take... Universe will take Mass Effect to a new level. One of the series newcomers is I just read that bit, but yeah, I mean, I you know, there's so much stuff that can be done with this character. It's like, could he be a villain that turns good? I mean, well, to us, that's kind of what happened with Knights of the Old Republic, but if you did a good playthrough. I'm looking forward to seeing what goes on with this. I mean, I love Mass Effect, as I've said, and it's a very fun game, and we're gonna all have lots of fun when it does come out. Let's find some more stuff for you. Where's that thing? Here we go. Yeah, Just Cause 3. I got two articles on Just Cause 3. One was about a teaser, and the one that came out today was it's been officially announced. So I'll skip the teaser bullshit because let's talk about this. Yeah, Just Cause 3 has officially been announced. Let me scroll down because there's an update on the fucking thing. Let me read the original story first. Just Cause 3 has been revealed by Avalanche Studios 4 years after Just Cause 2 hit the scene. And Just Cause 2 was awesome. A really fun game. As revealed by Game Informer, the open world shooter is due in 2015 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Here's what we know. It's set in a fictional Mediterranean archipelago. The grappling hook and parachute make a return with vastly improved mechanics. And there's even a new wingsuit. Sweet. You'll play as Rico Rodriguez. Excellent. Just Cause 2 went on to sell 6 million copies across PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC, where it had a thriving community that added a multiplayer mod. The Swedish developer set up a New York studio for Just Cause 2. Oh, one sec. Excuse me. But the company is also working on a Mad Max game, which no one gives a shit about. Which is likewise set for release next year. Although it looks pretty rad when I previewed it, just right talking. Yeah. God, this game is going to be so cool. There's a trailer. Wow, I'll have to post that on the thing later. But yeah, I'm just looking at this screenshot from the Game Informer cover. Yeah, it's Rico Rodriguez. He's looking slightly older. He's got the Nathan Drake short haircut. You know, the grappling hook. Yeah. He's looking different. He looks very Nathan Drake-ish, to be honest. But yeah, I am so looking forward to some more Just Cause, but the game was awesome. I love the first one, love the second one, and this third one's going to be amazing. Yeah, Just Cause 3 won't be free to play or contain microtransactions. Developer Avalanche Studios confirmed. Early leaked screenshots suggested otherwise. That's what I was going to read to you. But Avalanche co-founder and chief creative officer Christopher Sundberg explained that those with were early prototypes and not indicative of what the final product will be. Those leaked screenshots were taken from an ancient version of Just Cause 3, he said on the official Avalanche blog. Like most games, this one went through an extraordinary phase where we looked at different control schemes, different technologies, different business models. Those leaked screenshots show a part aspects of the process and in no way reflect the game we are making today. We'll be distributed as part of a retail box and digital download. It is not a free-to-play game. It does not feature in-game microtransactions. Does that mean we'll release the game and call it quits? Nope, he added. He says, beyond launch, I like to look into the DLC packs and items as part of our ambition to support Just Cause 3 and its players for many years to come. But until that time, we're completely focused on making the best Just Cause game we can possibly can. Rest assured, it will be huge, fully packed with extremely rewarding experiences right out the gate. And that's what I want. I mean, I love Just Cause. It's a really fun game series to play. Let's have a look. What we got? Let's find the news, more news stuff. Oh, here we go. Yeah. As we've got Far Cry 3 coming out next week. Far Cry Blood Dragon 2, not in the works. Ubisoft developer says says a different surprise is planned. A sequel to Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon is not in development for Far Cry 4, according to a senior Ubisoft developer. Alex Hutchinson, creative director at Ubisoft Montreal, told IGN that the studio was not working on a follow-up to Blood Dragon as a possible expansion for Far Cry 4. However, Hutchinson did hint that Ubisoft was working on something similar, unexpected this time around. That was what was cool about Blood Dragon. He says it was surprising. It's a great use for the Far Cry 3 base. Had an awesome soundtrack, but no, you won't get another one of those. But hopefully, we'll be able to surprise you with something just as much. Blood Dragon was a standalone expansion for Far Cry 3, developed by Ubisoft Montreal. The 80s-inspired expansion was described by the studio as a VHS-era vision of the future in which players get the girl, kill the bad guys, and save the world. Click on this page properly. Hollywood actor icon Michael Biehn, Terminator, Aliens, and The Abyss, provided the voice for Blood Dragon. While thumping 80s soundtrack was the work of Australian group Power Glove. I'm trying to get that the right way around. CVG's Blood Dragon reviews, gives a shit. I had it, didn't like it. It was kind of shit, but kind of good. But I just, you know, I was too happy with Far Cry 3 to want to get into this expansion. But yeah, I mean, I liked Far Cry 3, and you know, Far Cry 4 next week. I can't wait; it's gonna be really good. What we got? Let's have a look. Here we go. Need for Speed, something that could be interesting, possibly not. We'll wait and see. It's from IGN. New Need for Speed game title: No Limits, possibly leaked. Rally driver Ken Block posted the image on Facebook today of his latest vehicle retro modern all-wheel drive Gymkhana 7 Ford Mustang. On the car are a variety of promotional logos, including one for Need for Speed No Limits. Earlier this year, EA announced that developer Ghost Games would be taking a year off to work on the next installment of the Need for Speed franchise, with Ghost Games claiming that the next iteration will be dramatically different. However, to date, no title for the next game has been announced. Let's go back to the top because there was an update on that. Let's see what this is. They're basically saying that EA has confirmed that the Need for Speed No Limits is a mobile game project. So we're proud and excited to give the opportunity to partner with Ken Block on an upcoming mobile game project, as an EA spokesman. We've been anticipating seeing this car in action for Gymkhana 7 and sharing more details coming soon. So we're getting a new Need for Speed and it's going to be a mobile game, so that could be good, I guess. I'm not fussed. I mean, I lost interest in Need for Speed years ago. I mean, that most wanted that we got recently was terrible. Even though some people say it was good, I really wanted a HD remake of that Need for Speed we got originally got on the PlayStation 2. That would have suited me down to the ground. It really would have. What have we got? Let's have a look. Yeah, here we go. Let's see if this is something worth talking about. There was a comparison video that was done between Grand Theft Auto 5, the PlayStation 3 version, and the PlayStation 4. I've seen the video, and it's up on the old Facebook page. But I'll read this thing here. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5 sure looks pretty on the next gen, or have we decided to call it current gen? Well, yeah, current gen, because it's current gen stuff. Hardware and Rockstar has just released a video to demonstrate just how much prettier it is side by side next to the last gen counterpart, at least on Sony platforms. Let's have a scroll down. Here we go. Yeah. As you say, the video, you know, it's worth a watch. It says, as you can see, the PlayStation 4 version not only makes everything look slicker and glossier, but also adds in loads of new detail, like deer, flowers, making the already lavish landscapes even more believable. And it looks amazing on PlayStation 3 anyway, and Xbox 360. And what it's going to look like on PlayStation 4, it just, you know, as I say, with the whole first-person mode, it's like a brand new game. It really is. I mean, I know some people are happy with it and some people aren't, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to playing this when it does come out. Rockstar noted that the Enhanced Edition will more than double the game's draw distance and replace every texture among aesthetic additions. As revealed yesterday, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of Rockstar's latest will run at 1080p resolution at 30 frames per second. The PC port will be 4K compatible. And all these all these upcoming versions will feature an optional first-person mode. The PlayStation 4, Xbox One editions of GTA 5 will be out on the 18th of November, which is next Tuesday, while its PC port is due to launch on 27th of January. I get paid next week, so seeing how the money is when I get paid, I should be buying this and playing this for, you know, while I'm away, but I'm looking forward to some more Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I love Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 5, a really good game. Really good. What else we got? I mean, I'm running out of time. Let's try and find something else. It's just that there's not much news that's come out this week. It's very low on the ground. Here we go. Yeah, I say Assassin's Creed stuff. Assassin's Creed Unity features World War II section, which this interests me. It really does. Ubisoft has teased a mysterious new section of Assassin's Creed Unity, which appears to be set during World War II. The new trailer below timed Time Anomaly shows the player transported to the rooftops of Paris in the middle of an air raid. I haven't even watched the trailer yet. I need to get that done as well. You can climb the Eiffel Tower and even make an enemy take on enemy planes with a machine gun. Assassin, watch out. The voiceover states the French Revolution simulation is collapsing. I don't know what the time period you'll end up in. You're still playing as part of playing the as the avatar of the French Revolution, the hero Anon Dorian. During the section, though, some kind of glitch in the Animus software used to create Unity's Virtual Paris. It looks like the glitch is something to do with the game's overall meta story, which is great. And as long as it's not a DLC thing, I'm happy with it. We just moved on to the point where Evil Games developer Abstergo Entertainment is now letting the general public play with their Animus technology from the content of their own home. Comfort their own home. So that makes me wonder. So are you going to be not a member of Abstergo? You're just going to be like some random Joe Nobody who's bought this game and brought it home. And basically what we're doing with the game in real life. It's sort of, yeah, pretty much what we do in real life. An earlier leak showed off gameplay footage of a yet unrevealed Rift mode where you could play as different assassins through history on challenge maps. It's unclear if this feature is related. I'm hoping so, because can I get play as Ezio again? Because that's what I'd really like to do. But yeah, I say that's going to be good. I'm interested to find out what it is. I mean, say there's so much I don't know about what's going on with the Assassin's Creed game. And say this could be my last one, but we'll see. I mean, let's do one last article quickly before I literally run out of time. Here we go. Yeah, this is something nice that Bungie did. This is from Eurogamer. Bungie gifts brain surgery patient a one-of-a-kind rifle. It all began when the patient's wife, Reddit user BKBunny87, wrote about her husband Eric's condition and how Destiny was helping his recovery. Eric underwent seven brain surgeries in the last 7 months, and they'd removed quite a lot of his gray matter, resulting in severe memory loss. For a while, he didn't know me. This is his missus talking. And he only sometimes knew who he was. One thing he did remember was his excitement for Bungie's shooter Destiny, which he told his neurologist about. Amazingly, the good doctor found this as a potential source of healing. To my extreme surprise... Yeah, nothing like killing people to make you heal better. To my extreme surprise, his neurologist told us that the video games had been shown tremendous use as a PT, physical therapy tool for brain and memory damage, which would help me, to be honest. He even bought Destiny on his computer, and after some speed reading, he was all about jumping in at the community the game could pose for someone in my husband's position. His neurologist wasn't wrong, and indeed, Destiny has aided in his recovery and a good deal. God, how long does this article go on for? Fucking hell. Here we go. Bungie caught wind of this heartwarming tale and decided to reward this stalwart player by sending him a one-of-a-kind rifle. It's basically all fools scout rifle appears on the Destiny database. I'm just sort of looking at it now. It's pretty cool. Is it a scout rifle? Yeah, a scout rifle. Exotic, obviously. Nice range, impact. Yeah, it's a pretty good rifle. That's nice of them to actually do something for him. It's bad people going surgery and that sort of stuff, but, he's getting better and Destiny's helping him. And, Bungie helping him by, making him a one-of-a-kind rifle that, he can use. That's nice. Well done, Bungie. Even though the whole community's pissed off at you for, servers and all this sort of shit, you did... Oh, shit. Oh, there we go. Sorry. They did something nice for him, and he's doing better, and he's recovering, which is great, So this pretty much marks the end of the show for this week. Next week's topic is going to be on the community. Don't forget, coming up... not next, because it's probably a repeat, Alcohol by Volume. And after that is My Time Now with Johnny Five, and then after that is Dutch and Royce finishing off the night. Go to morelikeradio.com to basically find out all the details about the shows. If you want to download the show, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, that'd be nice. Look for More Like Radio. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio, it's all one word. You go to antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk if you want to email us. Facebook.com/mlrgamerlobby to join our group. Like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also you can follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, this pretty much marks pretty much me done for this week. I am exhausted. I've had a really long day and I'm looking forward to sort of relaxing now and uploading the show. And it'll be for download whenever it's available. And I will see you lot again next week. Have a good week, people. I will see you soon.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, yeah, what a sure. bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.